Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you will forgive the guilt of my
sin. All powerful God,
merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and my trespasses. By them I have continually offended you, and fairly deserve your punishment, both now and eternally. But from my heart I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray to you, in your immense mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet
and a light to my path.
Forever, O Lord, your word
is firmly fixed in the heavens.
Your faithfulness endures to all generations.
You have established the earth and it stands fast.
By your appointment, they stand this day.
For all things are your service.
If your law had not been my delight,
I would have perished in my affliction.
I will never forget your precepts.
For by them you have given me life.
Thank you.
us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
First reading for the sixth chapter of Easter is from the book of Acts, the seventh chapter. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting?" "For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and we have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of a man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man who he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living, and has not had our feet set.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs.
You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you.
That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble,
I will offer you burnt offerings of fattened animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul.
I cry with him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But truly God has listened. He has attended the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. The second reading is from St. Peter's first letter, the third chapter. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the word, gospel of the Lord.
The Son of God, the
who say by prophets,
and I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
What is it with all those stories out there about orphans? When you think about fairy tales or stories that you know, so often it begins with a child who has no parents, or if not a full-fledged orphan, then there's at least a child who has lost one parent, probably a mother, and that never turns out well. You can cue the wicked step-parent followed by the abuse and neglect or hardship of some kind. You know the stories. Cinderella, Snow White, Oliver Twist, Tom Sawyer, Anne of Green Gables, Superman, The Christmas Story of Holly and Ivy, and that musical orphan Annie. Why so many orphans? I think it's because it taps into something so deep in our nature. And also because there are many who have experienced this in one way or another. But think about it. There's nothing more frightening than the thought of being alone in the world. Alone and small and vulnerable and cold. No friend, no helper, without direction or guidance, lost, wandering, maybe thrown into an unknown place full of strangers. We see a little picture of this whenever we've seen a lost child in a store, even if they're only separated from their mother for 3 or 4 minutes, the terror they experience. Psalm 27 taps into this fear when it says, "My father and my mother have forsaken me." If that's not been your experience in the world, and I hope that it hasn't been, then thank God for that. Thank God for your mother. Thank God for your father. Thank God for the people through whom he has cared for you. Of course, one of the reasons why orphans make for such great stories is that being an orphan also lends itself to adventure, excitement, and all sorts of interesting things that happen. In today's gospel reading, Jesus addresses this deep-seated fear. He tells his disciples, he tells us these words of assurance. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." This is such a crucial part of what we believe as Christians. We don't believe that Jesus kind of airdropped into this world, did his business, and then jetted off, leaving us Christians to make our own way in the world. We believe that he came, that he lived, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and yet comes to us still, so that we are not without his direction or without his care. Although sometimes it does feel that way. I can think of some stories in Scripture of people who may have felt like they were orphaned or abandoned. You can start with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, madly sewing the fig leaves together and looking for a hiding place. Or the patriarch Joseph, thrown into a dry well by his brothers, sold to slave traders, and then captive in Egypt. Or the prophet Elijah, who runs away from the king and queen trying to kill him, goes to Mount Sinai and is convinced that he's the only believer left and asks to die. Or Daniel during that long night in the lion's den. Or the apostles gathered in the upper room on Easter Sunday evening, knowing that Jesus was crucified, hearing that the tomb is empty, but not knowing what it means. You can almost hear their cries. "Where are you, O Lord? Why have you left us like this? What are you doing with us?" And it's our lives too. It's our lives whenever we're overwhelmed with the decisions and needs of daily life. When we're saddened by the death of yet another friend. When we're filling the calendar with more and more appointments as we try to figure out what's wrong with us or how to get better. When we have our ongoing struggles with family members and friends. When we watch the prices go up, the accounts go down. when we fall into the same sin again, doing the thing that we don't want to do and not doing the thing that we do want to do. And it seems like we're on our own. Seems like we're alone, lacking guidance, direction, and support. And then we hear the words of Jesus. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. It's striking to me that Jesus felt a need to say this. He could only feel a need to say this to the disciples if he knows that there's a possibility that they're going to feel like orphans at some point. He knew what was coming. He said this on the night when he was betrayed, when he already knew, but they didn't, about the cross and the grave. He knew that it would look like they were abandoned, forsaken, and left to their own devices. And yet he also knew in that very moment, when they wondered where Jesus was and what he was doing, it would be the moment of his greatest care of all for his brothers and sisters. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is willing to give himself, not simply for a good man, but for those who were still sinners. If our Lord is willing to lay down his life for us, he's willing to be crucified and to be placed into the grave, will he leave us as orphans? Will he abandon us or forsake us in any time of need? The answer, of course, is no. He will not leave us as orphans. He will come to us. And this is true as well because of the help that we need from him. Jesus made a statement at the very beginning of our gospel reading today. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I think it's fair to say for most of us, maybe for every single one of us in here, that we would turn to our Lord and say, Lord, we love you. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we do love Jesus, and we do desire to keep his commandments, but we know how divided we are. We know that it's not only that we may feel abandoned as orphans at times, but we know what we do to ourselves. That we love our Lord on the one hand, but we love ourselves on the other. We want to keep his commandments on the one hand, but we struggle to keep his commandments on the other. And we seek to serve ourselves instead. Jesus knew the struggle that we would have. He knew the feeling that we might have of being forsaken, and so he gave this beautiful and precious promise. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper, because Jesus is the first helper who came in the flesh to do his ministry, carry out his work, but knowing that they would need his help still, that we would need his help after his departure, his death, resurrection, and ascension, he promised another helper. Who is the helper that he promised? Who is the one that he said he would send from the Father to us? It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one whom Jesus sends to be our helper, to grant us that comfort, to give us the strength, to create in us the love that does desire to keep his commandments. He did this for the disciples, and he did this for us. Knowing that the new commandment he had given to love one another is not always so easy to keep. The idea of loving one another is really easy in theory. If we simply talk in the abstract about loving one another, it sounds like a piece of cake. But confronted with another real human being, with their own wishes, desires, ideas, loving them is really, really difficult at times. You know this because you've been part of a family, part of a congregation, connected to other sinful people. You know how hard it is to love one another. And Jesus said, I will send you a helper, even the Holy Spirit, so that we would not be alone, so that we are not left to our own devices after Jesus ascends into heaven, so that we have the help that he provides. The help that is Jesus himself, and the help that is the Spirit sent from the Father. Jesus adds on to that promise of the Holy Spirit when he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. There are times in life when we might simply need help for a moment. We're going through some situation, and we reach out and ask for help, but it's temporary, it's limited, it's bounded, only for a time. Jesus says this helper will be with us forever. There will be a time, the time in which we now live, in which we do not see Jesus in the flesh. And he says during that time, the helper will come to us, and he will remain with us. Jesus had said that where he is going, the disciples could not follow immediately because he was going to prepare a place for us, and he will come again to take us to himself. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant. We may struggle what Jesus means. But it would become clear to them that Jesus would not always be with them in the same way. He would remain with his church. He made the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will come to you, but in a new and different way. Jesus keeps that promise for us still. He keeps that promise every Sunday as we gather through the bread and the wine and through the spoken words and through the brothers and sisters in Christ, through the gift of holy baptism, which St. Peter said now saves you. But he would not be with the disciples again like he was in the upper room until the day when he would come again in glory, the day for which we pray and the day for which we wait. And in between that time, the ascension of our Lord and his coming again in glory, he has sent to us the Holy Spirit, descended on Pentecost, who brings us to repentance, who grants us forgiveness of sins, who is and will be with us forever. We cannot see the Spirit in the same way, but we believe that this is true because Jesus promised it, that he will be with us even to the end of the age, and that this is for our good. Jesus also promised that the Helper will be with us forever, and that he will dwell with you and be in you. We have many different helpers in life. I suppose you could look at the coming week and look at all the help that you might need in various ways in your own life. But this is a helper who is more intimate and more personal than any other. Not only is this a helper who will be beside you, but he says, this helper will be with you and will be in you. Other helpers impact our life from the outside, but here is a helper who comes and takes up residence inside us, who works from the inside out, who creates that love in us for Jesus, that love that desires and will keep his commandments. You could say that the Holy Spirit is the one who possesses us. He is the one who enlivens us. He is the one who generates faith in our hearts in Jesus. He is the one who brings forth those good fruits and desires in our lives and brings forth the good works that serve our neighbors. The Holy Spirit is the helper who makes our relationship right with our God through faith in Jesus and begins restoring our relationships with others as well through the very love of Jesus. Jesus made some wonderful and precious promises. On the night when he was betrayed, he promised that he would not leave us as orphans, but that he would come to us. And he promised that he would send the Helper from the Father, even the Holy Spirit, so that we will not be without direction, so that we will not be without guidance, so that we will not be without the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. I mentioned the words of Psalm 27 toward the beginning of the sermon. Psalm 27, verse 10, which says, my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. You see, today, even as we thank God for the love and the care of our earthly mothers, as we celebrate with great joy the gift that he gives to us through them, we also see that our God has brought us into another family as well, that he has not left us as orphans, because through our brother Jesus Christ, we have been given a new father in heaven. We've been brought into the church as another mother for us. We have been made God's own children and children of the Heavenly Father. And so we gather today not as orphans, but as members of a family, as those who pray to a Father in heaven, as those who look for our salvation to our older brother Jesus, and as those who encourage and support one another here in our life in Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He says it again at the end of our reading, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." What he asks and says is clear, but it is not based on our own ability, our own will, or our own desire. It is based on the promise that he has given, that he will not leave us as orphans, that he will come to us, and that he will send to us another helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be with us forever and who will even dwell in us. May our God strengthen and keep us now through these promises of Jesus, that we might live always as members of his family. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
The congregation may be seated, and I invite our new members to come forward: Hayden Baum, Anthony Gonzalez, Patrick and Timothy Corey, Eric Lautenschlager, David Lilly, Ted and Cindy Martin, Annette Rosado, and Adam Pam Stoffel. You can gather here in front of the altar. I'm going to have you guys scoot down with the fan. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? Then say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Then say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
You believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit. Then say, yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired Word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true? Then say, I do.
I do.
Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Then say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? Then say, I do.
I do. I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? Then say, I will, with the help of God.
I will, with the help of God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Those who are joining by adult confirmation, I invite to kneel. Ed and Pam, Annette, Tiffany and Patrick, Eric and Anthony. And the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace, life everlasting. Amen. Pam, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace, the life everlasting. Amen. Annette, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Tiffany, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Patrick, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Eric, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Anthony, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. You may stand. Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, would please stand and pray. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing Caden, Anthony, Patrick and Tiffany, Hayden, Vanessa and Chase,
Eric, David, Ted and Cindy, Annette and Ed and Pam to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that bringing forth the fruits of faith, they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Cindy, welcome in the name of the Lord. And welcome in the name of the Lord. And welcome in the name of the Lord. Pam, welcome in the name of the Lord. And that welcome in the name of the Lord. Tiffany, welcome in the name of the Lord. Patrick, welcome in the name of the Lord. Katie, welcome in the name of the Lord. David, welcome in the name of the Lord. Katie, welcome in the name of the Lord. Eric, welcome in the name of the Lord. Andy, welcome in the name of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You may return to your seat. We continue with the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That each Christian, strengthened by the good news of life in Christ, would gladly tell others of the hope that they have, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Matthew, our synod president, Robert, our district president, Stephen, our circuit visitor, and our pastors, that as they proclaim God's word, his Spirit may be at work to teach us all things and bring to remembrance all that the Son has said to us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this congregation, that having received the Spirit of truth in holy baptism, they may not slip into sin and unbelief, but always praise God. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. With thanksgiving for our mothers, that we may rightly honor them as Christ honored and obeyed his mother. For all expectant mothers, including Kelsey, Jordan, Carrie, Jamie, Gail, and Jalen, and for those with young children, that God would grant safe delivery and joy. For those who have suffered miscarriage or the death of a child, that they would receive comfort. For those who, yearning for a child, have lived with the pain of this unfulfilled longing, that they may find consolation in Christ and his unfailing love. For foster care and adoptive mothers, that they would have strength for their callings. For mothers who grieve over their abortions, that they would know Christ's forgiveness. For those whose mothers are elderly, frail, and in need of care, that they would be sustained through weary and difficult times. For those without mothers or whose mothers are home with the Lord, that they may have peace. And for all women who are mothers in Israel, that is, those who teach, serve, and provide care within this congregation, that they would be used mightily for Christ's kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For First Concern, CareNet, Clearway Clinic, Problem Pregnancy, and all pregnancy resource centers, maternity homes, and organizations that care for the abortion vulnerable and those with crisis pregnancies, that their good work of caring for the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs of people would continue, prosper, and bear much fruit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of all nations, that those who seek peace and serve justice would be sustained in their service, and that all who cause evil, violence, or oppression would be frustrated. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith to offer prayer in all seasons of life and through all trials to the one who attends to our every cry, especially for Sylvia in her recovery from breast cancer surgery, Richard undergoing a biopsy, Katie awaiting a transplant, Catherine, hospitalized in ICU, Ben, recovering from a concussion, Luann, John, Judy, Hattie, Diane, and Evelyn, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who receive Holy Communion today, that they would know Christ, who does not leave us as orphans, but strengthens the faith and equips the love of his penitent children with his very body and blood, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshipped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
A psalm of prophecy, starting at the first verse. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty or in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord all the families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say to the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. And he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in faithfulness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day.
Thank you.
When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and